You're listening to The Hawk, 101.5 FM, broadcasting from Mohawk College in Hamilton, Ontario.
You are listening to Bridging the Social Distance. My name is Jenny Mitchell, and I recorded this show here at CFRU, Guelph's campus and community radio station, as a means of creating a platform for us to share ideas and feelings and perspectives in the wake of this global pandemic that is COVID-19. I was afraid that people would get isolated or I would lose the opportunity to chat with my community and find out how everyone is doing, so I made this show. If you're listening and you would like to get involved or be interviewed, you can contact me at mobile@cfru.ca. I'd like to provide the disclaimer that these interviews were recorded at different points in time, so situations in some of these locations may have changed. This show is also being syndicated for CIOI in Hamilton, Ontario. Today I'm speaking with Mary Parker, a resident at the Village of Riverside Glen Retirement Residence. This interview was originally recorded on August 18th, 2020. Mary, do you want to introduce yourself for listeners? Maybe say a bit about you.
Okay. Well, I guess he told you I was born in Sydney, Nova Scotia.
Okay.
You know Nova Scotia? Any part of it?
Yeah.
Cape Breton Island?
Yep.
Sydney? I was born in Sydney, and I walked the streets after the ones who brought me into the world. They took me back to the Children's Aid. The only reason I believe this is because I was taken back to these people, and I'd say I'd be about 5-6 years old, I'm not sure, but in that general, I can remember it.
Wow.
Yeah. So then I was put out with this family on a farm. Her name was Gillis. They had there was seven in the family, spread out to girls and boys. And one of the boys looked after the farm, and the other ones, they had two farms, and the other ones were looking after the upper farm. I was on the farm where Dahl was, and he's the one I had to help, and his mother stayed there, and she would be close to 80.
Wow.
And they wanted somebody to fend for her and be with her for company when they were out looking after the animals and that. So she was a lovely lady, and we sat there talking about different things. So I was there for quite a while. Then I had to go out. I milked one cow. I wouldn't milk anymore. They had a house like where they kept the separators. Mm-hmm. They separated the milk into cream.
Okay.
So I had to take the milk that the men had, cows that they had milk. They only at the time were milking three. They have to be bred, you know, with that. They have to be bred. And when they have babies, they have milk. So the calves, a lot of time, they'll maybe sell the calves to somebody who would like to. The farmers all change, interchangeable. So I ended up by making butter, making bread. Now, I'm just a young teenager, and just brought up on walk the streets of Sydney. I don't remember my parents. There's a possibility I was a stray, like a girl and a man. They come in, the ships are coming in and bringing soldiers in and that for the war. So, I mean, I could have been one of those stranded ones. And ended up... like I said, on the farm. Because the ones that raised me up till I was about 5 or 6, I guess maybe that was their job to get me started. And then they'll find other, but they would do the beginning of it. I think that's what happened. I don't know. But anyway, I'm here.
So the first family, the one that you were with till you were 5 or 6, were also not your biological family? They were sort of like the first foster family? Is that right?
As far as my own parents, I don't know them. But the Foster family that took me in are very kind and very good and taught me a lot. And I like, as far as work goes, I could end up by owning the farm because I had learned everything that had to be done.
Wow.
And I was quick to pick up. Thank God for that. I was quick to pick up. And then I met the soldier, and we at dancing. I love dancing. So I ended up by marrying him, and we had 9 children, and I breastfed everyone.
Wow.
Yes, and they all turned out pretty good. I lost one boy. He was past 60. He got the cancer.
I'm sorry.
I took him. And the boys went out west because of the working conditions. It's hard to get a job here for a young man, even for a young woman. I mean, the housework is about all you seem to be able to get. That's what I did. Scrub floors, wax them. End up by making the bread and everything.
Yeah.
But I was lucky. The people who I went with were very kind people.
Mm-hmm.
I've heard some of them, ladies that were in my position, saying that they had a little bit of problems with the new parents, as the saying goes.
Yeah.
But I didn't. They were very kind to me. Because she was a lady that was pushing 80 and about a couple of years after I was there, she took sick and we lost her. But the girls said, didn't tell me that I had to go, so I stayed there to help the boys look after the farm. And then when I figured that I've left him leaving, everything was all clean, the house was clean, the animals were all looked after that I had to do. And I told him, Donald was the one that's more or less got that part of the farm. So he said, I told him, I said, Donald, I have to go see the rest of the world.
Can I ask you some questions?
Yes.
The family that you were with the woman who was 80, would they have brought in foster children to help out because their own children had grown up and moved away? Or would this be a family that didn't have children?
I think these were people. There was an upper farm and a lower farm. And when they had the bucks. Hmm. I didn't see them, but you understand the farmers. They have the bucks. So when their mother was pushing 80, they wanted to get her close to the main drag where the doctors are.
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, like, if she got sick when they were up north, they'd had, like, by the time they got the doctor there, she could be.
I got it. I see.
But anyway, when they moved close, but then they had to have somebody look after her because the others had the farm to look after.
Yeah.
The girls were nurses. No, they were nurses. They had gone to the States and became nurses and teachers. So they wanted to work.
Right.
Well, money doesn't grow on trees anyway, so. So anyway, then I stayed with the one closer to Antigonish.
Okay.
And when I had them all settled up, but they knew that I was going to be gone. But, like, I did everything I could to, I house cleaned the house. I had all the washes, all hand washing now. You know what that's like?
Yeah, well, I mean... Board. Yeah. Not from experience exactly, but yes. Yeah.
Well, you'll experience sometimes if you can't afford a washing machine right away.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, well, that's what I did a lot of, scrubbing aboard. And then you had to iron them too, you know. But the old, like, glad iron on the stove, coal stove.
Oh.
This is in between when they used to have the outside. So this is brought in the house. And it's all a part of life.
I've seen those old irons, and they're so heavy.
The old
irons. They get so hot.
And you had to handle it, and then you had to...
Yeah.
Yep. There was that chance of it falling.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah, and they were really heavy. That would have been a lot of work.
Well, there's 1, 2, and 3 pound. They were like that.
Yeah. That's a lot.
Yes, it is a lot, but it does help when it's hard enough to, like, it's really smooth enough to ice. Yep.
Right.
It's not as nice as electric, though.
No.
But I tell you, what's the best thing is, back then, men wore long johns. You know what they are. Complete outfits or paired, like a pants. That's the long johns are something to try and wash. And you hang them out on the line.
You don't have to iron those, though, right?
No, but you can put them out on the line at 2 below. And they stand up.
That's awesome. That's really funny. That's when they need them.
So I bring them in. They were solid, but they smell so nice. And actually, the frost kind of takes some of the dirt that you left in.
Wow. These are some good tips.
In the kitchen, you have them over a chair or over something to dry them.
I don't imagine he'd be very happy putting on a pair of frozen long johns.
That's a long time ago.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, I'm 90. I'll be 97. September.
Yeah, when's your birthday?
24th of September.
Okay, I'm the 28th of September.
Now, I'm tossed up in my mind. I'm either the 23rd or 24th. Okay. I'm September. My husband was October. And I'm the 23rd of September, the 24th of October. So I get kind of confused.
Fair enough.
I was a year older than him.
Okay.
Yeah. And he spent 4 years in the war, the Second World War. So that was strange. I always loved dancing. I love to go out and dance. In fact, I'll dance here for you. But that was, you know how we had the square dance? I loved that. Every Friday. So the boys that came in, there was a barracks and that. Where I was in Sydney. And these 3 or 4 soldiers would visit. And this young soldier asked me to dance with him. Well, you think nothing of it. Dance with them and that. Then he asked to take me home. Now, I'm a foster kid, but I was boarding, as the saying goes. And I had to pay my own way. But anyway, I said, okay, take me home. We girls used to walk. But I said, one of these girls, I have to take her home because we have that agreement. He says, okay. So he walked us both home. And then the next thing you know, he was asking me where I wanted to live and stiff like that and what I wanted to do. And, well, the only thing I wanted to do was make a home. I wanted a home. Because I actually was somebody else's home, everyone I stayed in. So finally we decided to get married. And we boarded until we could find a place. And he had taken lessons to be a welder.
Oh.
Do welding. So we looked around and he had a job, so we had to get a place to live. Well, it wasn't long after we were married long enough anyway, but we started a family. And I got a little girl. Then I got another little girl. And I ended up with 4 children, 2 girls and 2 boys, perfect family. Because everybody's got an aunt and an uncle or whatever. Then there was another one sneaked in on me. A little boy. So then I had to... that made 5. There's 4 more came. But I breastfed all my children.
Yeah.
Up until 8-9 months. And then they were on the ball, because you take the ball and have it so that at night, rather than lose too much sleep, mm-hmm. you can give them a bottle of warm water. Or I did pump my breast, too,
wow.
and give them the milk. There's always a way around.
How close in age were they?
Oh, not too far apart.
Yeah.
No, I wanted a family, so I wanted to... I got up to 5 children. I went and asked them to help me out, because I mm-hmm. figured babies have to be looked after. And then they grow, they take a little bit more all the time. So, well, they got a fix. So that was, I had 9, but some were on the breast and some were on the bottle. And, you know, and some, like, I always trained them how to suck off a spoon.
Okay.
You know, a little bit of cereal, so they get the feel of the cereal, it was warm with the breast. So I mean they didn't mind the difference because it didn't taste it that bad.
Sure.
But the feeding them is a little stronger than the breast because it's more liquid. But then they had to get their tummy adjusted to it, because if they don't, they have problems with pains. And like a lot of people don't know why a baby cries a lot. Like if the mother puts it right on the breast without the breast. A lot don't want a nurse because they're working. So sometimes they put them on the bottle. Well, if you don't adjust the amount of milk in cereal, I put them on Pablum to make them get their stomach solid. And not all pins and needles, you know. So I was lucky with them. They were all very good. They sleep overnight after that. And then before they finish with me, I would nurse them and go to bed. And about 2 o'clock, I'd feel something pulling at me. It'd wake me up.
Yeah.
Because I never slept sound.
Oh, yeah.
And you wanted the nipple. Couldn't find itself, so I had to give it to them. But it was, to me, it was something beautiful.
Yeah.
A lot of people don't look at it that way, but I was nursing an individual who loved me.
Yeah.
And I'm alone. No parents and that. So at least I have somebody who loved me.
Oh, I have 2 children, and that's not 9, but I know that feeling.
One baby could take all your time. I was just lucky being an old woman and had the time. Then when, like, I got them all that I could work them with them eating off a spoon themselves, I was gradually getting them off of my breast. And getting them on their own world. And it don't take much. They're very quick to understand what you want them to do. Like it's an animal. If you put a pup on the breast of the animal, the mother, it knows right away that it has to suck. And the baby does the same thing. It has to suck. And that way it knows that whatever it sucks, it's good for them. I wanted to be a real mother to my children. And then I also wanted my children to know one another. Because in time, sometimes you don't know, you're lost for words, you don't know what's happening. So if you can phone up your sister or brother, or if your mother's still alive, they can explain to you what may be happening. Then you don't have to call a doctor in to go through. So, I mean, it's there's so many ways we can survive without bothering the upper people. I never had trouble with any of them. said, they're not going to call the doctor. I said, yeah, I'm going to call them. I don't want you to call them. I said, I'm going to call them. I'm at a loss, so I'm going to call them. And I had a wonderful man, doctor, who delivered me and looked after me and my child till it was, in fact, he brought all of my 9 children into the world.
Wow.
And he did, his wife wanted, it was due on a Sunday, which is not one you'd like to have, because, but anyway, I was due on this weekend, and it ended up close to me on a Sunday, and it did end up being a Sunday. But he was he knew that I was due any minute. Mm-hmm. But he and his girlfriend or his wife, I don't know who they were, so, but anyway, they planned on going shopping. And he said, well, I can't go. This lady tells me that she's ready. So he wouldn't go shopping with her. And I didn't go to Lowe's. I didn't bring the baby in for a week after.
Oh,
but
no.
But he wouldn't leave me.
Aw.
So that's the kind of a doctor I had.
That's
They don't come every day, but he was a wonderful man.
Yeah.
But he knew me. He even came to my house to see how I was doing and told me he was going away for a little while. So, I mean, I had a special man who thought of his patients.
Yeah. Where were you living at that point with your husband?
You know what Hespler used to be?
Yep, in Cambridge.
It is Cambridge now?
Yep.
Well, I lived in the section of Hespler.
Okay.
And I had to go to Galt for the hospital.
It still would have been a pretty small town, right? Like, the would have been a really tight-knit community, probably.
It was 3 sections.
Yeah.
Hespler, section, Preston, and Galt. And now they put together for Cambridge.
Yeah. Were they pretty small towns back then? Like, did everybody know each other?
Pretty well, yes.
Yeah.
Pretty well. And you got to know Galt because you had to go there for certain things.
Yeah.
Shopping.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they had a different shop. And then Guelph came in, but it was about 5 or 6 miles that way, and Galt was only 2.5 at this point.
What brought you to Hespler from the East Coast? Like, when did you and your husband move from out east to Ontario?
My husband and I, we went up north holidaying, and we ended up staying up there. Like, we moved up there. And I really liked it up there. Elliott Lake.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
And that's where he passed away.
Oh, I'm sorry.
Mm-hmm.
So you grew up in Nova Scotia. When did you move from Nova Scotia to Ontario?
Oh, boy. I'm kind of lost on times and that now. Well, see, I lived in Sydney.
Mm-hmm.
And then when I married my husband, God, I'm telling you, you should have got me a couple of years ago.
Oh, it's okay.
And I know one thing, if I had my daughter here, she would help me because she pretty well knows my situation. It's just that I had a blackout. I don't know if you know what that is.
Hmm.
I said, my brain stopped working right. I was blackout.
Wow.
I don't know. I don't remember anything of it. Completely out of this world. So, and then when I did come back, they thought I would be damaged, brain damage. I was very fortunate.
Yeah.
I had a strong brain and it kept working.
Wow.
Yes, I was lucky, very lucky. So, and a lot of the memories, like, they don't all come.
Yeah.
But most of them do come. Yeah.
I understand that. My memory does that too, actually, where I miss some of the connecting pieces are gone.
Yes.
So the memories are there, but I can't always grab them when someone asks.
Yeah, it's funny how I was extremely lucky to come back because, well, they didn't know what was going to. There was all, like, the, my children that were here. Like, I had kids out in Alberta.
Mm-hmm.
And then the help gets here, the doctors and all, were sitting around the table waiting for me to come out of it. Didn't know what to expect.
Yeah.
You know? Whether my mind would be still on the workbench or would it be way upstairs someplace.
Oh, I love that. Well, I met you, it must have been 5 years ago now or something close to that, quite a while ago. And I have to say, your memory seems incredible. You know, like I sympathize or empathize with the missing links from one period of time to another, but it's incredible. Like I feel like I met you yesterday. It doesn't feel, you don't
but
seem different.
You know, like I can remember living in Sydney, Nova Scotia, but then there's shots that are blank.
Mm-hmm.
Well, which like most of it was this lady that she drove me up from one part to the next. Now, whether she belongs to the children's aid, I don't know. I imagine she did, but I don't know because I wasn't told anything like that. But she was a very sweet woman.
Yeah.
And she stopped at a restaurant so we could have something to eat. And that was new to me. I'd never been in a restaurant. I didn't know what to order.
Wow.
Like on the farm, you make the supper.
Yeah. It's a... So they didn't really tell anybody what was going on. You children were used to just being moved from one place to another, and that was just how it was, I guess. It doesn't seem very fair. It seems like even if you're a child, you should be given some sort of explanation as to how it all fits together.
Yeah. Well, survival is the best answer I can give you on anything, because if you don't survive, you might as well say goodbye. Because what's left for you, you know? That's why I've been so lucky that my mind is still working. I can know I can do the things I did before.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe a little longer to do them, but I can still do them.
Yeah. And you have a huge family.
Yes. And I could have had another one, but I don't. As I said, I went to the doctor and said, 9 is enough. And like, you know, sometimes I think I was lazy. I should have went on for the 12.
Why?
I don't know. I just feel that maybe there's some children that wanted to come into the world and I wasn't given them the chance.
Hmm.
We don't know. And thank God we don't know. That's why a lot of murders are committed. Yes, people who don't know think they're doing something wrong and figure they're not good enough for this world.
Hmm.
But we're here. That's what I figured. We're here for a purpose. But he hasn't told me yet.
Yeah.
You're listening to Bridging the Social Distance, a show recorded here in Guelph at CFRU as a platform for sharing stories and perspectives during the global pandemic of COVID-19. This show is also being syndicated for CIOI in Hamilton, Ontario. Today I'm speaking with Mary Parker, a resident at the Village of Riverside Glen Retirement Residence.
You know what somebody told me once? So I shared with somebody that I have two children, and I shared that I felt like there's a third one. It's kind of like how you described the 12. For me, there's a third one that I sometimes feel like could be a baby to be. And someone shared with me that maybe that feeling is like your child's child. Like maybe part of you already feels the extension to the grandchildren that your children deliver. And I kind of liked that. I thought it was kind of neat if maybe part of you already feels connected to the...
The only thing that you don't have is completely your own blood. Because the baby had to have daddy's blood.
Yeah. Yeah. Isn't it amazing how it keeps going, though? You have this huge family, and then they have families, and it's wild.
Yep. But I don't regret having any of my babies.
No.
I just regret maybe if I should have let nature take its course and see what happened.
Nature can
I had
be...
A good husband. I was very lucky. I had a very good husband. And that means a lot.
Mm-hmm.
He was kind to me and he was good to me. And of course, his children loved him because he'd sit on the floor and play with them.
Yeah.
And then, of course, I don't drive a car.
Okay.
So he was complete chauffeur.
Wow.
They wanted to go to something. Your father has to take you if he don't take you. So we took long trips. We went back to Nova Scotia, where I was raised. And we went all the way out to B.C.
Wow.
Yeah, tenting. We put a tent up.
Amazing.
And the kids loved it.
How would you travel with so many kids?
I made a lunch.
Mm-hmm.
Made ice blocks
mm-hmm.
in the freezer.
Mm-hmm.
And the condiments, like milk, I'd take some milk. And tea, of course, I did tea. And he liked coffee, so we made coffee. And I took enough dishes, like two cup. We could use to drink a cup out of water or anything. It's something useful.
Mm-hmm.
You don't need the seltzer. And a plate and a bowl.
Mm-hmm.
And then the rest, I made a big, the big yellow blow sets we used to have? Mm-hmm. The big bowls.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
There was four bowls.
Yeah.
There's the big one, mm-hmm. middle, and the second, and then the baby.
Yeah.
Yeah. So I used them all. And I had the cooler for the stuff that needed to have ice. Mm-hmm. And there was a block of ice I made. So wherever we stayed, if there was a chance, some of them had coolers than that, I'd make more ice.
Oh, yeah.
You could buy a block of ice.
Okay.
Back then. I don't know what now. But I guess I got a hydro hooked up for you. I don't know.
How did you make so much food, though? That would have been so many mouths to feed.
Yeah, well, the older ones, when they didn't want to go on a trip, well, they were okay. They had friends.
Right, okay.
You know, so when they were old enough to look after themselves, if they stayed, I said, you have to look after the tent.
Mm-hmm.
Or whatever. If you want to sleep tonight, it has to be put up right.
Mm-hmm.
And they were very good, very wise, very wise. And they're still good. They're still okay. They still know what they have to do. And the boy I lost was a freak of nature. He was doing a job when he was old enough to do little jobs. They could get a little money that they could buy extra for themselves, like ice cream or whatever they wanted. And it happened to be that it was polluted. It hadn't been cleaned out. So he ended up with cancer.
Wow.
So, I mean, it's all hard, but he's past the 60s. And he left me a nice daughter, a granddaughter.
Yeah.
He is gone now. Her mother passed away. Both of them are gone. And she's bought herself a house and furnished it, painted it all through. Worked two jobs to pay for it.
Wow.
Yeah, it's in Guelph here.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
That's nice.
Yeah, very smart, Dad. Very smart. And the rest have done pretty good, too. They've all done pretty well. They know work has to be done.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Have a few of them stayed in the area? I know you mentioned some are spread around, but are there a few family members still in the region?
Well, the boys more or less were out west because it was work out there.
Right.
And they more or less stayed out there, and they married.
Yeah.
They married out there. I don't approve of the marriage, but that's not my business. I don't have to live with her. No, I don't know. There's a, I better leave her where she is. I mean, I have my own ideas for a married life.
Mm-hmm.
You treat your husband like a person, not some kind of a rag doll that you can throw in the corner.
Yeah. Well, something I remember about you, Mary, when we met before, and you told me you met your husband dancing, I think you mentioned you were already working and you had some independence, and that when you met him, you told you felt like you were going to be okay to be by yourself. So you wanted to see if he would accept you and your past and you'd meet his family. But I was really struck by how independent you were. You had a lot of like confidence and independence and autonomy, and it was kind of a special thing to imagine. Well, you know,
being like we were three in the family, but we're all separated.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know, like clearly that First World War, not the first, but the Second World War, it screwed up perfectly. Families. And with the three of them, there were different settlements. A French family had one of them,
mm-hmm.
an English one, and another, and they grew up with like different ideas, but for some reason or another, they really clung to one another when they got to know one another. So there is a touch, no matter where you try to separate children. There's an attachment there. And it stays with them all their lives.
Wow.
And I think a lot had to do, possibly, with the feelings we had for one another. Like, I would do anything for my husband.
Mm-hmm.
If he was sick, I'd look after him. And he would do the same for me. And my second oldest girl here, she had a real problem. We almost lost her.
Wow.
But she has a good husband, and he looked after her. In fact, he saved her life.
Wow.
He saved her life. Because she was almost opening the door to say goodbye. But he was so good to her. I gave him credit. But she's a strong girl. She's like her mother. She's strong.
Yeah.
And I don't worry about them because they know what I would do.
Yeah.
They know enough about me to read my mind almost. But they want to be close to me, so they're trying to get themselves close. But I don't interfere with them.
Yeah.
I know what they do in their home, that's their business. And I'm welcome in their home, and I'm thankful for that. And all of those guys, if I was say, this picture's not for sitting right, the first thing that got it up for me. They put them all in. It's behind you here on the small pictures. He put them. That's a son-in-law, not a son.
Wow.
No. Everything I got here, I can give the credit to my children.
Yeah.
So when we treat somebody decent, we get treated decent. The people in here, you ask who Mary Parker is? Oh, yeah, I know where she is. I can't disappear. But if they ask me to open the door, I'll open the door. I'll scrub the floor.
Wow.
At my age, I'll still scrub the floor. Work is normal to me.
Yeah.
It has to be done. I painted the house inside all out. I paid some of the outside to help at the painting.
Wow.
Oh, the only thing I can drive a car, but I don't like the highways.
Okay.
So I don't drive it. And if I have my children or anybody's kids, I say no. Because I haven't got the quickness. But this is because I wasn't a teenager when your ability is right on top for you.
Hmm.
You know, when you see something coming. In fact, I could do it for my husband. He did all the driving. I say, Chuck, I don't know what this guy is going to do. Because I'm looking out the back window. And he's got the front. And I said, this guy's coming down crazy, dear. So you can guess what he's going to do. Pass you or something.
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, I tried to prepare him and myself, actually, because you've got to prepare to try to, that force of the car, if he just, it pushes the whole car.
Mm-hmm.
And we did a lot of driving, even in Europe.
Oh, yeah?
Yes. Yep.
Was that when your children were older?
Oh, no, I had all the children.
Oh,
one of my daughters, was over there.
Oh, okay.
And she was coming home.
Oh, okay.
And she was on her, something to do with the job she was on. She was over there. So we picked her up and brought her home. So, and my, he wouldn't go alone. I take the map. I can read the map. And I said, I don't know where this road is going to take us, but it's a shortcut. You want to trust me? Yeah, I trust you. I said, okay, go turn right here, keep on down, then turn left. Now for what? That was testing me, too.
Yeah. It sounds like you made a good team, though.
Yes. I lost them. But we're not going to live forever, but I don't know why I'm still here. I can't. It don't look as if I'm going to go any day, but it, never one knows. But I don't feel sick. I feel good. I eat my food. I don't have to be told to eat that last potato.
You seem like you're doing amazing.
Oh.
How have you been coping during the pandemic? Are you keeping okay? You have to be in your room more, I guess.
My only reason I stay in my room is that I don't want to get attached anymore.
Yeah.
I used to get, then have to move away or to leave. I miss them.
Oh.
I miss them so much.
Yeah.
So this way, I still miss them. But they've become a family to me. When they become a family to me, my heart goes out with them. And see, being a loner, and as a kid, like, I didn't have parents.
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, you try to get your love where you possibly can, but you have to give love to get it.
When you're alone right now.
Love books.
Books?
Reading.
Reading? That's how you're spending the time?
I got a puzzle on the table.
Yeah.
I always do something active. And I can sew. I can make clothes. And I can paint.
Oh, yeah.
There's nothing I can't do. I don't say it'll be perfect by any chance. But I'll attempt to do it.
Yeah.
If you want somebody to scrub your clothes, I'll scrub them for you. I'll give you a curler. I'll give you a perm. I gave my kids all perms. They wanted it. They got it.
Wow.
Yep. And when I made pants for the boys, it's a crutch that I used to have the problem. No, I mean, on a pair of pants.
Yeah, I know. Yeah.
If there's a mark on them, where the silver, there's always somebody says, "Oh, she missed that day." You know, embarrass them. But I know what it is to be embarrassed.
Yeah.
But you do what you can, and what you can't, you cannot.
That's a great phrase.
I can put preserves down.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah. I can make cakes, layer cakes, cookies.
Yeah.
I can feed 18 people. I know I can. And I don't, look, I'll do a roast, a beef or a roast of pork, and maybe a chicken. So they have something different. If they don't like pork, then most people like chicken.
I think that's too nice of you. I can't believe you cook so much and you still give them options.
And I can mash potatoes. No peel potatoes. Scalloped potatoes. I love scalloped potatoes.
Yeah.
You like onions?
I do. Yeah.
Yeah, so do I. Yeah.
Yeah.
Layered them.
Mm-hmm.
Scalloped potatoes and milk.
I like everything.
Oh, good. You're partners. I try to make the kids like everything.
Yeah.
Because it's hard to cook for just one.
Yeah.
You know, it is just hard. And it, but, yes. Like the boss here said, if he asks me to do anything within my power, I'll do it.
Yeah.
And he knows it too.
I hope they don't ask you to do too much.
They'll come get me before. Well, you know, somebody when I was just a young girl, they said, like, I was talking to strangers and that. Mm-hmm. This one said, "You talk to the queen if she was here." I said, "Well, why not? She's a lady. She was born just the same as me." "Oh, yeah, she got a little more schooling. But that don't mean she's any better than me otherwise, worthwise. We're individuals. We're all put a heart, soul."
Yeah.
"So therefore, we're all connected." Now you're thinking about that.
Is that that feeling of connection, is that helping you get through this time, do you think? You know how we're in a pandemic right now and you guys can't leave the space as much and visitors can't come in right now? And so I wonder if that feeling of connection is helping you get through this time alone.
Being alone when I was small, yes. I think it has. Because I see some, like, if you see two young girls, unless they're neighbors, they're sister and brother.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what I didn't have.
Mm-hmm.
And even I did have a brother and a sister, but I mean close to me.
Yeah.
They were brought up by other families.
Mm-hmm.
And it was true of my sister. When she knew there was three of us, she's the one who found us.
Hmm.
She found my brother first because he was close in the same area as she was. Well, I was in another area, but we found one another.
Wow.
And it really meant a lot to me.
Yeah.
To have family. Even if they were miles away. But we know But one time or another, they're thinking of you.
Yeah. How old were you when you found each other again? Like, did she find you when you were adults?
I was an adult, yes.
Yeah?
Yes. Oh, I was an adult, definitely, when I met her.
Wow.
If I was single, it would have been bad. Well, when you're single, you can do mostly anything.
Yeah.
But when you're not, or if you've got a real good job and you can't leave it, there's a lot of that too. So, but if my sister had got hold of me before I got involved, the three of us possibly could maybe got together and try to capture a little bit. But I still got to see her.
Yeah.
But I don't travel alone. I don't like traveling alone. And at the time, I was a little bit too old because an awful lot of girls get raped in that when they're traveling alone because the guys are always looking for some trouble to get into. That's one of the ones they enjoy for some reason or another. But anyway, life is what it is. And there's not much I can do now. I'm kind of I'm free and yet I'm not free. You understand?
Yeah.
And my brain seems to be clear. But if I do want to go anywhere, I'd have to have somebody with me.
Mm-hmm.
That's my idea, even though my brain is pretty active right now. But I feel it's traveling is wonderful. I love traveling. I always have. I've got to Europe. I've got to Hawaii. And I would go any place. But if I had a company, there would be no money-wise. I've saved all my life. So I should have enough money if I want to go. Yep. But my husband, life was short for him, and yet it wasn't. He was just about 80. So, I mean, that's quite a life.
Yeah.
Yep. I tried to push it further, but it wouldn't go.
I guess I have to wrap up soon, but I'm wondering when you get to have your family come visit again, and we don't need to worry about people being sick at the center, what are you most looking forward to? Is there something you'll get to do again when we don't have to worry about COVID?
Well, it's something like the flu. It keeps on going and going and going.
Yeah.
And you can't get rid of it until something to kill it. What are you going to get to kill it?
Mm-hmm.
It's a strong force in their lives.
Mm-hmm.
Very strong. And there's always something that we have to fight. If it's not the flu, it's the food, something wrong with the food, because it's ground is not fit for it. Or you get a disease that interferes with your mind.
Mm-hmm.
There's so many things that I hope we never have to worry about them, but it can happen. And so far, my children are all healthy, and I'm lucky there.
Yeah.
Because, you know, you hate to have your children sick.
Yeah.
But they know what to do. And cleanliness is one of the things that's good
yeah.
for kids to know.
Because
if you're clean, if you keep your body clean, it's not there lazy and active to pick up germs.
Mm-hmm.
So, and you're a very nice lady.
Well, thank
you. Just talking to you. You're lovely.
I enjoyed it so much.
Keep up the good work.
Thank you.
Because we all need somebody that will talk to us and give us straight answers, not half answers, straight answers.
Yeah. Well, do you have any advice for me for getting through this sickness?
The only thing that you really have to look after in this life is your health to survive. I mean, you eat right, you enjoy food,
mm-hmm.
you enjoy company, and laughter is another thing that's very precious in our lives.
All right.
And a smile goes a mile away.
Well, you have a very good smile, so that really helps.
It goes miles. I've been told that. I travel alone on trains and buses. And been told by soldiers that are traveling one base to the other, going home or something. And they say, you've got a lovely smile. Hold on to it. So that's part of the answer anyway.
Sounds good. Aw. Mary, thank you so much for talking to me today. I enjoyed it so much. It was so nice to see you again.
We are able to fight a lot of things. Some things takes longer to fight for them. And love is one of them. It's hard to get somebody to love you because they got to love themselves.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah. And I wish I could give you a hug and a kiss.
I know, I wish that too. I would love that hug right now. When we're allowed to come back, I'll come visit, okay?
Okay, dear.
Okay.
I love you.
Love you too. Bye, Mary.
So once again, that was Mary Parker, a resident of the Village of Riverside Glen Retirement Residence. That brings us to the end of this episode of Bridging the Social Distance, a show produced at CFRU in Guelph and syndicated for CIOI in Hamilton, Ontario, that aims to create a platform for us sharing what we are doing to get through this time together in the wake of COVID-19.
This is CIOI 101.5 FM. The Hawk is on the air.
Hi.
Hey, it's Chris Angel. I want to welcome you to my 22,000 square foot estate known as
Hamiltopia.
Come on in. Before I take you through the tour, I want to introduce you to my incredible staff.
Brandy. Dallas.
Becky. 101.5 The Hawk.
Dun 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 dun
Da 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 da